Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Black Flags. The Rise of ISIS by Joby Warrick is a narrative non-fiction account of how the Islamic State emerged from the wreckage of regional wars and the failures of international counterterrorism, written by a longtime national security reporter. The book traces the movement from its early roots in militant networks to its transformation into a self-proclaimed caliphate that seized territory and drew global attention. Warrick connects events across Jordan, Iraq, Syria, and beyond, showing how personal ambitions, prison radicalization, sectarian politics, and battlefield opportunities converged into a resilient organization. The story is told through a reporting-driven lens that emphasizes the human decisions behind historical turning points, including miscalculations by governments and intelligence services. Rather than treating ISIS as an inexplicable phenomenon, the book presents it as the outcome of recognizable pressures and choices, making the rise of ISIS easier to understand for readers seeking context for one of the defining security crises of the 2010s. I will give you key takeaways from this book firstly. Origins in militant networks and the making of a leadership core. A central theme is that ISIS did not appear overnight, but grew out of pre-existing jihadist currents and a small set of determined organizers. The book follows early militants and facilitators who exploited regional grievances and ideological narratives to recruit, fundraise, and move fighters. Warrick highlights how leadership personalities mattered. Strategic patience, brutality, and a talent for organization helped a fringe faction evolve into something far more durable. He also emphasizes the role of safe havens and informal cross-border pipelines, where local power vacuums allowed militants to regroup after setbacks. The story shows how personal loyalties, rivalries, and opportunism shaped the group's trajectory as much as doctrine did. Readers see the gradual professionalization of a clandestine enterprise into a proto-state actor, including how leaders learned to balance secrecy with propaganda and how they identified weak points in adversaries. This topic matters because it reframes ISIS as a product of cumulative adaptation. Understanding those origins clarifies why the movement survived repeated attempts to dismantle it, and why later military victories required more than targeting a single figure or cell. Secondly, prisons, sectarian politics, and the conditions that fueled radicalization. Another major topic is how political decisions and social fractures created an environment in which extremist recruitment could thrive. The book connects the rise of ISIS to cycles of exclusion and retaliation, particularly where sectarian identity became a tool of governance and survival. Warrick describes how detention systems and prisons could become incubators for networking and ideological hardening, enabling militants to meet, test loyalty, and plan. This is presented not as an abstract critique, but as a concrete mechanism confinement brought together experienced operatives with new recruits, accelerating the exchange of skills and narratives. The book also explores how community mistrust and heavy-handed security practices could push undecided individuals toward armed groups that promise protection or revenge. By following this chain of cause and effect, the narrative underscores that counterterrorism failures are often systemic rather than merely tactical. The takeaway is that security measures that ignore legitimacy and social cohesion can unintentionally strengthen the very movements they aim to suppress, especially when local populations believe they have no peaceful path to influence or safety. Thirdly, war in Iraq and Syria as a launchpad for territorial expansion. Warrick presents the wars in Iraq and Syria as the decisive accelerant that enabled ISIS to shift from insurgency to territorial control. This topic examines how collapsing institutions, shifting battle lines, and competing armed factions created opportunities for a highly disciplined extremist organization. The book describes how ISIS leveraged chaos to capture weapons, resources, and strategic cities, then used those gains to recruit at scale. Territorial expansion is shown as both a military project and a governance project, where intimidation, service provision, and propaganda work together to project inevitability. The narrative also emphasizes that the group understood momentum, quick victories attracted recruits and financing, while fear discouraged resistance. At the same time, Warrick points to how fragmented opposition forces and inconsistent external policies complicated efforts to contain the threat. The reader comes away with a clearer picture of why ISIS was able to move faster than many governments anticipated, and why the conflict's complexity made it hard to build a unified response. This section helps explain the movement's leap from a clandestine network to an entity that briefly controlled significant territory and populations. Fourthly, propaganda, fear, and the strategic use of spectacle. A key topic is the way ISIS used messaging and spectacle as operational tools rather than mere rhetoric. The book details how the group paired extreme violence with sophisticated communication to dominate attention, intimidate enemies, and attract recruits who sought purpose, status, or belonging. Warrick portrays propaganda as integrated with battlefield tactics. Public brutality served to deter local resistance, while curated narratives framed ISIS as a victorious, divinely sanctioned project. this approach exploited modern media ecosystems, enabling rapid spread of images and claims across borders. The book also shows how fear can become a force multiplier, reducing the need for large numbers of fighters when opponents hesitate or flee. At the same time, the narrative highlights the challenge for governments and media ignoring atrocities. Risks underestimating the threat, but amplifying them can inadvertently serve the group's goals. This topic is important for understanding why ISIS resonated with certain audiences despite widespread condemnation. It also offers a broader lesson about modern extremist movements, which often compete for attention as much as territory and treat information warfare as central to recruitment, fundraising, and coercion. Lastly, intelligence blind spots and the difficulty of stopping an adaptive enemy. The book devotes significant attention to how intelligence services and policymakers struggle to recognize the scale and trajectory of the ISIS threat. Work illustrates how early warning signs can be missed or discounted when agencies focus on familiar patterns, leadership decapitation, or narrow definitions of success. He explores the friction between field reporting, bureaucratic incentives, and political constraints, showing how partial information can lead to confident but wrong assessments. This topic also emphasizes ISIS adaptability when pressured in one area. The group shifted tactics, moved across borders, or rebranded to exploit new openings. The narrative suggests that counterterrorism requires more than precision strikes and raids. It demands sustained attention to governance, local partnerships, and the social terrain where insurgencies recruit. The reader sees how competing priorities and short time horizons can undermine long-term containment. The value of this section is its realism about the limits of state power against decentralized networks, especially in regions with weak institutions. It encourages readers to think critically about how threats are evaluated, how strategies are chosen, and why certain interventions can backfire even when motivated by security concerns. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a clear, story-driven understanding of how ISIS rose, including students of international relations, journalists, policy professionals, and general readers trying to connect headlines to a coherent historical arc. It benefits the reader by mapping cause and effect across ideology, war, and political decision-making, helping you recognize how extremist movements exploit instability and how seemingly local events can ripple into global security crises. The narrative approach also humanizes the machinery of counterterrorism, showing how choices made by individuals and institutions can escalate or contain danger. Compared to similar books that focus primarily on battlefield chronology or abstract theory, Black Flag stands out for its journalistic synthesis and focus on pivotal turning points, making complex developments accessible without reducing them to simple explanations. It is worth buying because it offers a structured account of emergence, expansion, and response that can inform how you interpret later developments in the region and the evolution of militant organizations. Readers seeking context, not just commentary, will find it a practical guide to understanding how modern insurgencies grow and why stopping them is so difficult. If you would like to support Joby Warwick, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.